Blog Talk Radio.
And you have stumbled across The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives you a full balance of sports, that balance that you look for every day. Join Tom and $2 Bill Josh as they break down all the sports for you and promise not to leave you hungry. Right now, here's Tom and $2 Bill Josh.
I am Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
Well, I think one of the big things is when you're going to pick a sleeper team now in an NCAA tournament, is the biggest thing you're looking for is experience. Because so many of the major programs, guys are out at 1 year, 2 years, gone. You know, you look at Kentucky from last year. You know, they just filled up the draft lottery by themselves in the NBA. Everybody just took off. And there are so many teams like that. So if you find a team that has a lot of experience to it, you know, here it comes. And, you know, Notre Dame's a team like that. Rick Pitino kidded around the other day that they should be good because they're all 28 and 29 years old. Well, they're not that old, but they all have been around for a while. A team that usually everyone's talking about, and this year they're flying under the radar, is Gonzaga. And, you know, they have a team now that's been together for a few years. And they lost games to really good programs during the year, but they're getting better and better, and you see a team like that come along. You know, there are teams that the kind of teams that you haven't heard of. And a team that could really shake people up, Belmont, is a team that they score so easily. And if they can get you in a running game, and if you have one or two good players and they can get a couple of fouls called against those guys, all of a sudden you're going to be for a rough time. So I think if you look down the 12-13 line, the 12 line is always the famous one for all the upsets come. But you look at a team like Richmond, who comes in, and people don't know a lot about them, but Kevin Anderson is one of the best guards in the country, and he just he can control a game. He's not a big kid, but he's a real solid kid and does it. So if you go hunting down and start looking from the 10 line down to about 12, you can find teams there that, you know, you'll be able to surprise yourself as you watch them play through the tournament.
All right, boys and girls, it is The Balance. March Madness weekend. My name's Tom. Right alongside me is $2 Bill Josh. Josh, how are we doing today? Are you ready to break down some hoop action?
I'm doing pretty well today. I'm still a little stunned that my Louisville Cardinals were the first team eliminated on Thursday, but
can you believe that? That's why they call it March Madness. That's why they call it the Big Dance, boys and girls. Because if you don't bring your game, it's one loss. Go home. See ya. Try it again next year. Now, of course, everybody knows about the Louisville Stunner upset. Josh, real quickly, you're our NBA analysis. You're our hoop guy, our hoop mania guy. So I'm sure you've been following this in quite intently. What we want to do, guys, we want to hear about your brackets. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. We're going to be running the show today, Josh, 7 to 8. I have to head up to Fort Wayne. We were going to run an extra half hour because of March Madness, but I figured I'd rather deal with a earlier show than a Carrie Madness. I'm just kidding. Going up to see my in-laws today in Fort Wayne, Indiana, so we need to hit the road. We've got a lot to cover, but we want to make sure that we get your calls in and then we talk about your brackets, 917-889-8516. Josh will be right here with us. And even though a little bit later on in the show, we'll have RJ Cunningham with Trackside Review, and we'll be breaking down racing. Really, we didn't have a race last week. We don't have a lot going on. So we'll probably spend most of this show talking hoops, and some with RJ. And I know RJ just donated his money to the balance bracket, which we'll get right into. But Josh, break it down for us. We've had two rounds. We've had Thursday, and, well, if you want to count the play-in games, we've had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Nothing but basketball on multiple channels. Josh, what's going on with the brackets? What's going on in general out there? Give us the $2 Bill report, buddy.
All right, sure thing, but first I need to do something that me and RJ forgot to do on the show last week. Congratulations, Tom, on having, I believe it's your first ever grandkid. 10 days ago now, something like that.
Thank you, buddy. Yep, Kalina Shea, born last Wednesday, almost 2 weeks ago. See, she's already growing up so fast. Kalina Shea, born at 3:58 in the afternoon, 6 pounds, 15 ounces. So, yeah, I am a very proud grandfather.
But moving over to March Madness, I don't know if Tom's even aware of this upset, but last night VCU sent Georgetown home. So there's another big upset in the March Madness. This number 6 Georgetown Hoyas will spend the rest of the month of March at home. Syracuse beat Indiana State. Purdue looked dominant. Butler won. Florida's won. Notre Dame won yesterday. Indiana teams are 3-1. So
Indiana's having a good month of March.
There really hasn't been any real upsets other than VCU and Morehead State.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was an exciting game to watch Morehead State beat Louisville. Butler had an exciting game, and like you said, there's three Indiana teams still alive. Of course, the Sycamores out there at Indiana State, just a little bit too much for them to bite off for Syracuse. Nothing unexpected there, so really wouldn't call that an upset or anything like that. But it was good to see a team like Indiana State in the tournament. It's good to see Notre Dame there again this year. It's been a while since we've got to see them play some good action. And Purdue's got a very good shot. Now, here's the thing, guys. We want to know, what was your system when you put together your bracket? We've got the balanced bracket here, and just to kind of give you a quick overlook on the standings in the balanced bracket. Josh, you have moved up. Well, actually, we're both tied at two. You have 50 correct, and I have 43 correct. Georgetown busted me. That was a huge upset for me. But Jason Luke, who is our number one person, he is at 55 correct, and he's got Kansas as the champion. So, yeah, I had Georgetown winning it all in this bracket, so it kind of looks like I'm boom, 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 boom. But, RJ... didn't quite make the dance. He donated to the cause. He got the bracket, and we'll have to razz him a little bit about it. But it wasn't until after the games had started on Thursday that RJ let me know that I needed to send him another link or something to that effect. But now, Josh, where are we at? Josh, what was your system when you went in and picked your bracket? I'm kind of surprised that you have Duke as the champion here, but going all the way, which I really don't think that'll happen. I think they will go deep. I think that they will not go all the way. I mean, for them to win two back-to-back championships, do they have the potential to do it? Yes, but when you look at teams historically, it just doesn't happen. It just doesn't come together for whatever reason, and there's probably many reasons. But Josh, break us down your bracketology. How did you put your bracket together? Did you just go with the number one seeds all the way up until you got into the Sweet 16, which is a method. A lot of people do that. They just go number one seed so they get to the 16, Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, and then they start trying to do a better matchup from there. But go ahead, Josh. How'd you put your bracket together?
Well, I used higher winning percentage in each individual matchup. The team that has the higher winning percentage almost always wins that particular game. So that's how you get some of the upsets. Like, everybody, I expected Belmont to beat Wisconsin. They had a better winning percentage. And then after that, I went by who's taller, who's stronger, who has the most seniors. The only reason I don't have Kentucky winning it all, or Ohio State winning it all, freshmen tend not to win the national championship. There's something about March Madness, and freshmen can't get it done. That's the reason I picked Duke to win back-to-back national titles. Kyle Singler and the rest of the Duke Blue Devils have been there. They've done this. They're playoff. I guess you would call this playoff. College is equivalent of the playoffs. They're playoff tested. They're playoff proven. A team like Kentucky and Ohio State, they're a bunch of freshmen that haven't proven anything in the tournament yet. In fact, for about the first half yesterday, Ohio State was struggling with University of Texas San Antonio. So,
well, I'll tell you what. Go ahead, Josh. Sorry.
I was just going to say I basically just went with the team that had been there before over the team that had it 90% of the time.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the games today. What's exciting today? It's Saturday. I mean, what they're used to playing on Saturday. Come on, this is game day for a lot of these kids, and we've got some good teams, and we have some potential upsets to happen today. Now, I will get into my upsets now. Josh, we've got. I'm going to just kind of go through some of the games today. Tell me what you think is going to happen today. We got Kentucky plays today. Of course, there's a number 4 and a number 5 seed against West Virginia. Both of those teams are familiar with playing with each other. Where do you stand on that?
I'm going to go with Kentucky to win that game. Kentucky's a little bit better talent-wise, and John Calipari's not going to let the juniors and seniors, the few junior and seniors he has on his roster, forget that last year was West Virginia that denied Kentucky a chance to go to the Final Four, so look for revenge to be a factor in that ballgame.
All right, and I tell you what, here's the thing. I think that's going to be a great game. It's going to be a great breakdown game. I'll have to go back and look at my bracket. I don't know if I had West Virginia to win, but the more I look at this game, I like them. I like them a lot. I think it's going to be a good opportunity for them to shine. I think they have all the talent and all the ability to make it there. Kentucky Wildcats, I just wasn't that impressed with them when they were playing Princeton. I mean, they were down at the real close. Well, they weren't necessarily down at the half, but they were close at the half. It was a close game. Princeton played a good game with them. And if Kentucky plays West Virginia the way they did Princeton, in which, I'm sure that they've made some game adjustments and looked at some tape and so forth. But that said, I like West Virginia. I think that they have a very, very good opportunity here to beat a very, very good Kentucky Wildcat team. And I like that game. I think it's going to be one of the primo games to watch today. UCLA and number 2, Florida. Now, that will be an upset if it comes together, if UCLA can, if the Bruins can beat the Gators. Wow, what an upset that'll be. I don't think that'll happen. I've got Florida beating UCLA, but I think that an opportunity is there for UCLA. But I like Florida in this game. I think that they have a very good shot at making something happen. What are your thoughts there, Josh, on UCLA and Florida?
Well, as all of our faithful listeners know, I'm a huge Florida Gator fan, and I think Florida is going to continue to prove to people that we deserve to be the number 1 seed in the Southeast, and it's a joke that Pittsburgh got it over us, but such is life. I think we're going to blow out UCLA, and I'm going to go ahead and call a game that you haven't discussed yet. I'm looking forward to seeing Butler and St. Pittsburgh come on the second day of the regional.
All righty. Well, this is the balance. Is this RJ? Hello? Hello? The balance, are you there? Well, we had a caller there. It kind of looked like RJ's number, but it must not have been RJ's. So caller, give us a call back if you want to talk brackets. We'd love to have you on the show today and talk more with you about your brackets. Again, our call-in number here at The Balance, 917-889-8516. Give me and Josh a call. Let's talk about your brackets. Are your brackets busted up? Did Louisville bust your brackets? We want to know. Give us a call, 917-889-8516, or you can log on to our website, www.thebalanceonline.com, or, of course, follow us on Facebook. Now, Josh, another game we got today, and go ahead. Were you saying something else about Florida there, buddy?
No, I was just going to say that we're going to continue our crusade to prove that we should have been the number 1 seed in the Southeast. And I also went ahead and called Butler to send Pittsburgh home tonight about 9:30.
You know, I was just talking about that to Kerry this morning. I think that's a tough situation. If Butler manages to do that, Josh, if Butler manages to beat number one Pitt, look out. I mean, it could be a repeat of last year all over again. I mean, really, if they beat Pitt, I don't see anybody that they can't beat, and the confidence level alone will push them into the Final Four. So that's an exciting game to watch. Another game we've got today is Kansas State, number 5, against number 4, Wisconsin. Here's an upset I'm looking for. I'm looking for Kansas State to beat Wisconsin. I'm looking for the Badgers to go home. I really think that there is a sleeper team right there in Kansas State. I think they have every opportunity and every ability. They've got some great three-point action. They can shoot from the line. I like Kansas State in this game. I think this is going to be your biggest upset of the day, Kansas State against number 4, Wisconsin. What are your thoughts there, Josh?
I'm going to have to agree with you. Wisconsin's kind of one thing. Right now, they're not firing on all cylinders. They happen to survive Belmont. They didn't look all that dominant doing it. And there's a guy I would love to see where the blue and gold of Indiana faces on Kansas State team today. That would be one Mr. Jacob Pullen, who can shoot the ball from anywhere on the floor. And, in fact, he's never seen a place on the floor he didn't want to shoot the ball from or wasn't capable of making the shot from.
Okay, hold on just a second. All right. Okay, are you there? Are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Is this RJ? Hello, RJ?
I was here, but I pushed the button to disconnect us. My
bad. Okay. Well, hey, we're talking hoops here. Of course, we're going to get into some racing a little bit, but like I told Josh here at the very beginning of the show is that we'll spend a lot of time talking hoops today because we've only got an hour. I've got to head up to Fort Wayne today. But we're looking at your brackets here, Mr. RJ Cunningham, and wow, you're not even you're there, but you haven't even registered a correct win yet. Why would that be?
I told you on St. Patty's Day that I was just donating my funds to the deal. Actually, as old as I am, I've never actually played the brackets before because I don't watch the NCAA until it gets to the final, you know, the brackets. And then I watched IU when they were a decent team, and, you know, when they went away, then my interest went away. And
right.
I obviously went to Indiana State, so I like to see them do well. But they lost. But they played well, I mean, I thought, considering, you know.
Well, you know, that, yeah, considering it was really a David and Goliath type situation. Now, Josh, going back to what we were talking about, Kansas State number 4, Wisconsin. That game is today. I think we've got a big upset there to happen. I think Kansas State will beat Wisconsin. And as you very well know, Josh, I have a very keen ability on predicting the outcomes of a big game. So just to, my record stands for itself. But Kansas State against number 4 Wisconsin. Josh, what do you think about that game? Any other thoughts on that, Josh?
No, I just look for Kansas State to get a nice, solid 8-10 point win at the end of the day.
All right, so you agree with me Kansas State will beat Wisconsin on this?
Yes, I agree with you for the second game in a row.
All righty. Woo! Man, we're on a roll now. RJ, have you had a chance to look at that game, number 5, Kansas State against number 4, Wisconsin?
No, I picked Wisconsin, really. So, I'm sure that I'm totally wrong. So,
well. All right, guys, another game going on today, number 11, Gonzaga against number 3, BYU. Now, here's the thing. All you amateurs out there and all you guys out there who don't know the history of the Bulldogs, and I'm not talking about Butler, I'm talking about the other Bulldogs, Gonzaga, for some reason, come March, have an ability to just make it happen. And they fly in underneath the radar, and they really – just can do some serious damage. And I just think that BYU, I like. They've got a lot of storylines around them. You know, the guy they suspended, I got a brain fart right now, but the guy they suspended for improper actions. In other words, he had relations with his girlfriend in college. I never knew that happened. I mean, I'm shocked that that would happen. In college, aren't they just there to go to school and play athletics, be in the athletic department? Isn't that the case there, Josh? But in all seriousness aside, I mean, I know BYU is a Christian organization, and they are a Christian college, so their standards are, and as they should be, a little bit higher. Well, they're from the Mormon Church there. So anyway, number 11 Gonzaga against number 3 BYU. I think Gonzaga will just come in, and this is another big upset of the day. I think this is a good game to watch. I think it's one of the primo games to watch, and I think you'll see that Gonzaga will put out number 3 BYU today.
I'm going to go ahead and agree with you for the third straight game in a row.
Drum roll, people. Drum roll. Give it up.
But for different reasons. Gonzaga is really, really tall. They might be, in fact, the tallest team in the NCAA tournament. BYU suspended their best forward for having sexual relations with his girlfriend. Are you kidding me? That happens in college? I'm, like, totally shocked that would happen in college. Not, and I don't think Jimmer has enough help to upset Gonzaga. So I think Gonzaga is going to win by at least 15 points, and we're not going to hear about Jimmer anymore until he gets to the NBA.
Yeah, I really am shocked that something like that would happen in college. I mean, I don't know what else goes on in college. Am I alone in this, guys? Give us a call, 917-889-8516. 917-889-8516. We'll be right back. When we get back, we're going to break down some more hoops. And we're going to try to talk a little bit about RJ Cunningham. This is The Ballad on the Blog Talk Radio.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, G-Balance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
What you're doing after you saw the Louisville upset against Morehead State and some other big upsets to happen yet today and have happened to bring you up to speed if you've not been brought up to speed. If you picked Georgetown, if you picked Louisville to go to the final game and to the championship game, boys and girls, you are amongst the dying today. Your bracket is all but dead. Josh, we got another game I wanted to talk about today. Number 6 Cincinnati against number 3 UConn. I don't really see an upset there. I think UConn's going to go ahead and move forward on that. I mean, they're a pretty amazing team. A lot of people have them going deep into the Final Four and even into the championship game. I'm obviously one of those guys that picked Georgetown to go all the way. Well, that's not going to happen. They got beat. So my bracket is a one-legger right now. So we need something big to happen here in the next couple days. But, Josh, number 6, Cincinnati against number 3, UConn today. What are your thoughts on that game?
Well, I'm going to have to agree with you. I don't see Cincinnati being able to beat UConn. And, by the way, Kimba Walker, the best player in college basketball, and I had the number 1 pick, and I'm the New Jersey Nets. I would make Kimba Walker my number 1 pick and my franchise player, and I would even give him the number 23 because I think that's the type of impact he's going to have in the NBA.
Well, I agree with you, and that's pretty good there. So, guys, what we want to do is we want to hear about your brackets. 917-889-8516. You can follow us on Facebook. Just search The Balance or go to our website, www.thebalanceonline.com, and leave your comments. Tell us what you're thinking. Guys, tell all your friends about this great Saturday morning sports talk show that you listen to with three guys that are sports fans that just love to talk about sports and racing. We're right along with us is RJ Cunningham moving into we're going to do kind of a split screen here, guys. Since it's March Madness, I think it's fitting here. We're going to do March Madness and Hoop Talk. So, guys, give us a call, 917-889-8516, and we'd love to talk hoops with you or racing. Now, we've got some racing action going on. It is Bristol, and I'm not talking about Sarah Palin's daughter. It is Bristol NASCAR weekend. There's NASCAR, there's racing, and then there's Bristol. And our friend Carl Edwards, who won out there in Vegas, is on the pole. Here's a little bit of a soundbite on that. And we'll be right back on the flip side of that to talk to RJ Cunningham of Trackside Review and break down Bristol, get our picks as drivers. And again, we're still talking hoops, March Madness, right here on The Balance.
Hey, everyone. Rachel Rupert, Miss Coors Light. I'm here with Carl Edwards again, making a habit out of this every week. What was it like on the world's fastest half mile out there?
Felt really fast today. The speeds were up. The tire is has a ton of grip. And this will probably be the last time we ever race on this tire here in this qualifying session. So, man, I had fun. My Scott Fusion was fast. You know, we've been running so well. I didn't realize that, you know, the when they said to sign this in Phoenix. I didn't know that people were going to sign it the whole year. But I signed it way too big compared to everybody else. But I signed it smaller over there. And I'm just glad to be here. I mean, 2 out of 4 races is great. To start this race on the pole will be huge.
Exactly. Well, that was sweet of you. Make it a little smaller this time. So each week, we had him in for Phoenix and then Nationwide last week. Now we're here again. We're taking funny pictures each week now because Carl's making habit out of this. Are you having fun with that?
Yeah. You can't have fun with this. You can't have fun. This is great. I mean, to be this fast and to be this competitive in this sport right now, it's a gift. I'm really blessed.
Are you going to do a backflip on Sunday?
I hope. That'd be huge.
You going to teach me how?
That'd be great. I'll do one right now. You'll try one.
I think we have a challenge. All right, congrats, Carl. Thank you so much. We'll see you guys on Sunday. Facebook.com/MissCoorsLight. Check it out. Bye.
All right. Well, if you've got to do an interview, I guess Miss Coors Light's the girl to do it for you. She's interviewing Carl Edwards there right after he got the pole for tomorrow's race in Bristol. Yes, and that's in the state of, Tennessee. RJ Cunningham, Trackside Review, so glad that you could join us today. Break down Bristol for us, guys. What's going on? RJ, break it down for us. Josh, give us your thoughts, and we'll chime in after that. Go right ahead, RJ.
Okay, well, I'm just going to give you my pick early. I know you don't like this, but Reagan Smith is definitely my man for Bristol. I think this will be his time. Paul Menard could be right along with him. That's my thoughts right there, okay? Tires is an issue there, I noticed, and I saw this website called Trackside Review, and I saw that. That was pretty cool.
You like that website, huh? Yeah, guys, check out the new Trackside Review magazine, www.tracksidereview.com. RJ, real quickly, I know there's another website. It's under construction. I know you're working with Marquee Solutions on getting that together. RJ's Racebook is soon to be coming and soon to be launched. Tell us a little bit about RJ's Racebook.
Okay, it's going to be a linkable item. When they log on to Trackside Review, they can go right to the Racebook. Basically, to make it very simple, it's a telephone directory for race drivers, race fans, racing marketing partners or sponsors, and race tracks. You know, I basically am very adamant about sponsorships. I have looked for money for racing teams before and been somewhat successful, and this is just a way to help all the racers. And as we get more involved with Trackside Review, I'll go back to doing some of that marketing for the drivers, too, and I would also like to do some of the PR. But I must admit, I can't wait to get to the short track so that I can interview them with my digital recorder and talk to some of the people in the short track events so we can listen to them on both my show and The Balance. And I'm interested to see who Josh has got his pick for. Not to change the subject for the his pick. Well, you too, although you're never in the running. So. Oh, by the way, how about the Pacers last night? Cool. Anyway.
Yeah, that's right, Josh. And like I said, this is a split screen, so hoops doesn't necessarily mean NCAA. We didn't get a chance to break down our NBA because we're just so excited and biting at the bit to talk a little bit about college hoops. Josh, you kind of got the floor. NBA, college hoops, NASCAR, go ahead, buddy.
Okay, let's start with the NBA. Last night was the second straight home sellout for the Indiana Pacers. In the last couple of weeks, when Frank Vogel put Tyler Hansbrough in, and Tyler's starting to look like the best power forward since Tim Duncan was a rookie. Nobody in the NBA can apparently stop Tyler Hansbrough at the moment. He had 29 points, 14 rebounds last night. His ninth 20-point game in the last 10 games for the Indiana Pacers. Indiana Pacers are now 13-12 under head coach Frank Vogel. I do not look for Frank Vogel to keep the job. I look for him to go back to being the assistant role next year at the former Pacer Mark Jackson being the head coach. Moving over to NCAA a little bit. If I was an Indiana athletic director, I would fire Coach Crean. I don't know if you've seen any of his studio analysis, but every chance he gets, he's throwing the Cougars under the bus. They were talking about zone defense. He goes, gee, if I could get my team to play a little bit of defense, we might have been here. Or if I could get my guys to listen to me, we might be here. I'm getting a little tired of it. I don't know if you've seen any of it, Tom or RJ, but I don't think it's professional to throw your own team under the bus. I'll let you give your thoughts if you have any.
Well, I told you guys last week I would have fired him before the season. I mean, after he lost that game with Penn State, I would have let him go. But I know he's got this new, man or whatever. But I just I'm not impressed with him. I haven't been impressed with him. And I think I made the comment that Bobby Knight in a wheelchair would be better. So, that's my thought.
Well, real quickly, interjecting on that, I think IU has to do something, and they have to make some radical changes. They're obviously going to give Coach Crean another season. I agree with you guys. Let's just see what happens as the season moves along. I think as IU fans and as an IU alumni myself, it's very easy to say, well, let's just get another coach in there because, we had Bobby Knight for so many years. I mean, when you got Bobby Knight, you got Bobby Knight. And that's what it is. Like him or hate him, Bobby Knight won games and his kids graduated. Now, here's the thing. And everybody else after Bobby Knight is after Bobby Knight and is following Bobby Knight. And all we want to do is put them in this comparison bubble of Bobby Knight. Now, that said, I think that Coach Crean has been a very, very disappointing coach. I think he did a fantastic job out at Marquette. And when he came here, we kind of expected him to bring a lot of that flavor and a lot of that recruiting power to the thing. And quite frankly, I would be embarrassed to see your former team, Marquette, in the big dance this year, and not in the and not the current team that you coach, which is a basketball powerhouse, should be one of the primo jobs in college coaching to have. So with a lot is expected, and I think a lot is very much expected of Coach Green. So we'll see what he can do in going into this next year, and we'll see what can happen. Now, Josh, let's jump into Bristol for you. What are your who are your picks? What are your thoughts on Bristol and for this weekend, Josh?
Bristol is my favorite NASCAR track other than Daytona. It's the Monster Mile. This is where we're going to separate the boys from the men. This is to see who has the will, the endurance, the stamina, the smarts, and the team to survive 500 miles at Bristol Motor Speedway. The shortest track in NASCAR, I believe. Martinsville might be a little shorter. I'm not sure which one's actually the shortest track. That's the reason I'm not going to pick Danica Patrick to win the Nationwide Series race. She's not prepared to do that. I'm actually not even sure who's in the Nationwide race, so I'm not going to give you a Nationwide pick. But
Come on now.
I do like Trevor Bayne if he's racing in the Nationwide Series race. I'm not sure if he's in the Nationwide Series race this weekend or not.
We will check that here in a minute there, Justin. We're going to break down the Nationwide race here in a minute. We'll go ahead and do that here in just a second. So are you saying that you think Trevor Bayne will win the race? Are you picking him again?
I'm picking him to win the Nationwide Series race. But the guy I'm picking to win the Sprint Cup race would be... And RJ stole the guy I was going to pick, so I'm going to have to pick Carl Edwards. I was going to take Regan Smith, but I'll take Carl Edwards.
Okay. Well, I guess that's it's my turn for the pick of the – what's it called, RJ? Food City 500 out there in Bristol. Isn't that what it's called?
The Easy C 300 for the Nationwide race. And I think you got it right for the
Nationwide. Well, we'll break down Nationwide right here. Go ahead, Josh.
Sorry to interrupt, but I think they changed it to the Jeff Bird 500 this year, although I have no idea who Jeff Bird is or why they named the race after him. But I know one of the NASCAR races this week is the Jeff Bird 500.
Okay. Well, whatever it is, we all know it as Bristol. And as you said, Josh, it separates the men from the boys, and it is that time of year as March Madness gets rolling around, college basketball, NASCAR prepares for its own version. They have the world's fastest half-mile track, Bristol Motor Speedway, and I think it is the Food City 500 or whatever it is. I tell you what, this place is a favorite of many drivers. Many drivers have a lot of memories there, and I'm sure you'll hear Mr. Waltrip talk about it this weekend. And I think he even still considers that his home track. It's going to be a good race. Now, one of the things that I look at is, Bristol, you got to start up front, and historically anyway, to do well. And you've got to be in a situation that normally the drivers who start near the front, I think, have the better odds of pulling off the race, just historically. And I think Bristol's one of those races where you've got to look at the history of the race and how it's happened. I think. And RJ, you might know this better than I do, but I think the deepest winner that has ever started there to win at Bristol was Elliott Sadler, and I think he started 38th, and I think that was back in 2000 or 2001, maybe 2002, but in that ballpark, and I'm just going on memory there, but I do remember that he started at 38th there to come back to win that race. So typically, the starting spot plays a lot in picking a winner for Bristol. So that said, I do like Carl Edwards, Josh. I'm not so sure about your pick, RJ, but that's fine. And here's the thing. The Bush family has did well there. I mean, Kyle Busch has won three in the last five races. Kyle Busch has won. So, I mean, you've got to look at Kyle Busch, you've got to look at Kurt Busch, and you've got to look at Carl Edwards. And I've got to pick one of those three because I think it's going to be one of those three. I mean, obviously, I think that you're going to have your spotlight drivers who know how to drive. You got your Jimmy Johnson, your Jeff Gordon, your Tony Stewart, all of those guys. Denny Hamlin is a good one to look at. Ryan Newman, Denny Hamlin. Both of those drivers have shown a lot of strength this year, and Ryan Newman is one of my favorite drivers. So certainly I like to see him do well this season, and I think that Ryan Newman is certainly the hotter of the two there between the two between Denny Hamlin and Ryan Newman. But I think the prime matchup this week is between Hendricks Motorsports, Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson. And I think that's going to be a prime matchup. Gordon, I think, is tied with Kurt Busch as for some of the most wins and among active drivers with Johnson right there. And again, a lot of this I'm just going by memory, so feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, RJ, but I'm very, very seldom wrong. I'm almost always right, because you know why? Because I am the Rush Limbaugh of sports. I know it all. And when I say something's going to happen and I profess that, it happens. It always happens.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to... I'm going to go with Kurt Busch to win this. This is my pick. RJ, I hope you've got him wrote down. We'll break down the Nationwide race right here in just a few moments, because I certainly want to get to the decision about the swap the tires and so forth, and I want to get you guys' thoughts on that. But I think it's going to be a Kurt Busch race. Go ahead, RJ. What were you going to say?
Well, I looking at the qualifying order of the Nationwide series is really interesting, but I still stick with my Reagan. I think that's going to be a good one there. And Trevor Bayne is back in the back in the Nationwide race. And Danica Patrick qualifying eighth. And then, you've got Wallace up high. You've got Cope up high. And but I'm going to go with Keselowski on the Nationwide race, although I would love to see Justin Allgaier win. No, wait a minute. I'm going to switch to Justin. I watched him race dirt late models. I got to go with that boy. So Justin Allgaier for the Nationwide race, and Reagan with the the NASCAR race. And you know, it's amazing when you see some of these companies, you know, sponsoring the NASCAR events. I just wonder how much they charge for, you know, each one of these events. It'd be a nice knowledge tool to be able to use later on in my life. I'm more of a Nationwide fan than I am the sprint races. For the plain and simple fact that I know more of the drivers that run the Nationwide races. I mean, I saw some of these guys in speech classes. I mean, that's how they start them in diapers now, and you can watch them at 7, 8, 9 years old, which I had hoped to be able to do that with one particular young man, but I guess that's not going to happen. But Dale Earnhardt way back there in the back of the Nationwide race. I mean, it's going to be an interesting race.
If I could interrupt real quick, they actually don't qualify until 9:30 this morning, so I'm not sure if you're looking at the qualifying order, but I was told to.
I'm looking at the qualifying order. My bad. No wonder everybody's way up there. Golly gee, man. I'm looking at the Nationwide thing. What I did is I went to this website called Trackside Review, and then on this link, I hit this link, and I'm just looking, and I'm going, why is everybody – I didn't even look at the top. I'm just looking at the thing, you know. And my bad. I'm still going to pick the guys I picked, so it doesn't matter. But way to go, RJ. What a doofus.
Well, guys, I tell you what, I'll be honest. I didn't do my homework for the Nationwide race like I did the other one, because I was kind of busy doing a bunch of other stuff. I wear a lot of different hats, so I didn't quite get my homework done on the nationwide race. So I really can't break it down with the great know-how and knowledge that you've come to expect from me. But I'm gonna. I like Scott's Easy. Hello, is everybody there?
I'm here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't even know what car who he's with, but I know that he's been doing good in the nationwide races. Now, speaking of Trackside Review, the magazine, RJ, I know that you've been working hard on getting that new website up and running, and very, very soon, guys, you're going to be able to subscribe to Trackside Review, the magazine, online. And I know that I've had a chance to go on there and work with you on that, and it's a really exciting time for Trackside Review, the magazine, and Trackside and RJ's Racebook, and very, very soon, I know you'll have Trackside Review in print as well, and you're going to be going around to a lot of the different racetracks. So, you know, I know you're probably going to be having a booth and stuff out, maybe out at some of these racetracks, and you're going to have some merchandise and different stuff. But basically, for the listener, RJ, that doesn't know a lot about Trackside Review, the magazine, tell us real quickly what it is. And I know that you don't necessarily just cover NASCAR. You cover a lot of the short tracks, a lot of the dirt tracks, a lot of the where the real race fan is, and you're out there mingling among them. And you're really out there to try to help the driver who is struggling just to put tires on his car. So real
right.
quickly, and we'll get into tires because I want to have that discussion with you guys, but. Real quickly, RJ, tell us about Trackside Review, the magazine, and Trackside Review Online, and what it is that you're able to do.
Well, I want to talk just briefly about the blog I just did a couple days ago, and I did a quick study on the five states with the race drivers and the amount of money that the short track racers bring to the table. And it came to $1,575,000 per weekend for just one driver with one pit pass to go to the races. Okay? So you multiply that times the 50 states in the United States, and you come up to a huge amount of money that is spent with short track racing. I eliminated the big tracks. I you know, there was 216 tracks, and I took a certain amount of tracks away because of Bristol and Indianapolis and all that. And I, you know, it's amazing to me when the race fans talk about NASCAR, all the drivers that start at the smaller levels. For example, today, even though I've got a very busy day, I'm going to go over to Mini Indy in Indianapolis and look and see if the quarter midgets are testing yet. Why? That's because that's where Justin Allgaier started. That's where Danny Kilpatrick started in go-karts. There's so many different smaller levels of racing. And I'm trying to get the recognition for those kinds of drivers, because if they get seen, they get moved up the ladder. So it's about exposure for those kind of racers and to bring more money to them in a very small level. Because when race fans subscribe to this magazine online or in print, 50% will go to a race driver. The rule is, obviously, the race driver's got to be a subscriber to the magazine or they're not going to be in the mix. But if a race driver helps the magazine, then we're going to make sure that they have a subscription to the magazine. You know, the race fans are hungry for information, and many of the drivers are so busy racing, they don't understand, you know, the fact that they have got to help themselves, too. They've got to get themselves some exposure. So this is what the magazine's about.
Great. And I've had a lot of opportunity to talk with you some one-on-one and really help you with your website and a lot of different stuff. So I know if there's one guy out there that's dedicated to racing, it's you and his Trackside Review. So if you happen to be a race team or a race driver that listens to us, you know, certainly, there'll be a link on the website, www. But just his TrackSideReview.com and all the contact information for RJ is on there. And if you want to advertise in the magazine, or if you want to be a part of the magazine, or you want to be a part of what RJ is talking about, jump online there, www.TrackSideReview.com. All right, now we're talking a little bit about tires this weekend, and I think that's one of the big storylines of Bristol this weekend. And I guess based on a higher than expected right side tire wear during Friday's practice session at Bristol Motor Speedway, NASCAR and Goodyear officials are taking the unusual but unprecedented step of swapping out the current supply of right side tires with up to 1,300 replacements from the company's Charlotte warehouse. Now, NASCAR's Vice President of Competition, Robin Peberton, and Nationwide Series Director Joe Balish called a meeting Friday afternoon with Nationwide crew chiefs and drivers to discuss the decision to swap tires and then explain what will happen for the rest of the weekend. So, now, based on the information that I see here, based on the practice sessions Friday and for the Nationwide Cup Series Friday night, they'll be making a tire compound change, and then Saturday for Nationwide Series race, and then the Cup Series race on Sunday. So, RJ, have you had a chance to look at that? Same thing with you, Josh. I know that Goodyear wasn't happy with the way the tires were performing. They decided, hey, we're just going to go in and just basically start over from scratch. We're going to give everybody some new right-side tires. Do you think that's going to play a major play in the race, or you just think that's a storyline that the media is blowing out of proportion for this particular race, RJ?
I'm going to go ahead and take this one first because I actually have a question for RJ. I did see a little bit of the tire. I'm not sure why they would change it. More power to them if they think it's going to work. But my question for you, RJ, is there's a local driver who I'm a big fan of, and I'm having a hard time finding out what series he's in this year. I think he has a world full of potential. But can you tell me where exactly Dakota Armstrong is racing this year?
Repeat that again, please.
I have a local driver that I'm a big fan of, and I'm sure you're familiar with him, but I can't find out what series Dakota Armstrong's in this year.
He's running USAC, I believe, and Dakota started out running mini indies, and he raced my indoor track one day in a quarter midget, determining that my track was going to be not the right fit for quarter midgets, but that was kind of fun to watch him then. That's an up-and-coming name, I'm telling you. That kid's going to be good. I believe he might be in a couple of Nationwide Series races down the road, too. If you go to USACRacing.com, I'm sure you'll probably find him on there. You'll be able to link back and forth from Trackside Review to that. That's the way, you know, that deal works. And he's the kind of guy that he's going to run anything just to prove he can race. You know, he's in the mold of an A.J. Foyt back in years gone by. So he'll run anything that's available. So he's a shoot. And that's the kind of driver I like, is a shoot. So anyway. Now, what the tire factor is definitely going to make a change. You're going to see the teams that have been around do a little bit better job, which means that my pick could be in dark horse because they don't have the many, many years of running the Bristol to go by. So you could very easily get the Hendrick teams, and you know, they should come to the forefront because of the experience with changes. So, but I still want to pick Reagan Smith. That's just my pick. Hey, while we're on here, Tom and Josh, I've wrote down Justin Allgaier for the first race and Reagan Smith for the second, but I need to know the other two just to make sure. I got Trevor Bayne for Josh in the Nationwide race, but tell me the other.
Are you wanting my Nationwide pick?
Nationwide and NASCAR. I got to write it down. So
I have Trevor Bayne and Carl Edwards.
Okay.
I had Kyle Busch. Or was it Kurt Busch? I had Kurt Busch. I'm sorry. I had Kurt Busch and Easy.
You want Kyle in the Nationwide race?
Who?
Kyle in the Nationwide race, though, right?
No. I had Easy in the Nationwide.
Yeah, Kyle in the Nationwide race and Kurt in the...
Right. I'm sorry. Right.
Okay. That's cool. Okay.
Are we good?
So I've got Allgaier in the first race and Reagan in the second. You've got Kyle in the first race and Kurt in the second. And Johnson got Trevor Bain in the first race and Carl Edwards in the second.
That's right.
And we're probably all going to
put in a spreadsheet because we want to keep track of what's happening. And email us that spreadsheet each week.
Oh, well, first I've got to create the spreadsheet. But I'll get to that. My bad.
All right, guys. Well, hey, we're getting close to the end of the show here. Like I said, we're going to run the show 7 to 8. We ran the show 7 to 8 today because I've got to head up to Fort Wayne to see the in-laws and spend the day up there. And then we're going to be back here this evening, and we're going to head out and represent the balance at the Indianapolis Ice game tonight. Me and Mrs. Marquis will be doing that. So I got a full day packed. But one of the things I want to do is split our screen again and just really kind of recap. We got a lot of stuff going on. March Madness. Which number two seed is most likely to reach the Final Four? Notre Dame, San Diego State, North Carolina, or Florida? Josh, real quickly.
I'm a Florida Gator fan, and I've seen nothing in the first round that would change my mind. And also, since we're running out of time, I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to Mike Napoli of the University of Indianapolis, who won the Greyhounds' first ever wrestling national championship last weekend.
Thanks for that shout-out there, Josh. And we'll certainly have some more information on that as the week goes along, and we'll have that updated on our website as well. Everybody knows since way back when, and remember, I am the Rush Limbaugh of sports. So if you need to know, you just need to ask Mr. Tom here, and I will have the information that you need. And Josh, I think you will certainly vouch for this. I've been on the San Diego State bandwagon for a long time, and I like them. So San Diego State will reach the Final Four. I have them in the bracket to do so. RJ, real quickly.
Purdue all the way. That's all I'm saying.
Purdue all the way. All right.
Purdue,
well, I'll tell you what. Purdue did a great job yesterday. I think the real challenges are starting to happen and will start develop as they move forward into the tournament. I think that they have so much talent, but they've got to rope it in a little bit, and they've got to relax. I think they have a tendency to get over-anxious and to get over-anxious with the shots, and they get into foul trouble. And when you're in the NCAA, March Madness, win or go home, you've got to slow down. You've got to play the game all the way to the final. That's why they call them buzzer beaters. And you've got to relax and play the game. I think Purdue gets way too anxious to get out there and get that early lead, and they just take some unnecessary shots, and they get into some foul trouble, which could be very, very, very dangerous for them as they move forward into the thing. All right, Mr. Josh, it is your turn for the two-minute warning. We are at the two-minute warning. Josh, break us down for the two-minute warning.
Look for Butler to knock off Pittsburgh tonight. Look for Florida to move on. And RJ, I need to get a hold of you. I would like to set up plans for us to go to Eldora later this summer.
Cool.
All right. RJ, final thoughts on anything?
Okay, my thoughts are that Josh and I are going to Eldora. I'll email Larry and try to get it together. Would you prefer an open wheel race or a dirt model race?
I actually like dirt race if they have any at Eldora.
Dirt racing, okay. Well, we'll get her done. Actually, we all three should go. That's the party place, everybody. Let me tell you, Tony Stewart's got that place rocking and a rolling. So.
All righty. Well, it sounds like a good time. We'll have to do that. Well, guys, that's going to wrap it up. It is March Madness. It is Bristol weekend, guys. No excuses. Be in front of the TV watching your sports, watching your brackets, watching racing. And when you get a chance, log on to TracksideReview.com. My name's Tom. Right alongside me is always $2 Bill Josh and RJ Cunningham from Trackside Review. This has been The Balance from March 19th, 2011. Na 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 na.
California, I say, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was gonna say, son of a bitch, didn't you?
That's all, folks.